afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is March 1st, 2021, coming in like a lion here on the eastern shore of Maryland. And maybe it's going to go out like a lamb. How is it where you're at, Butch?
It's been cloudy all day, nothing much going on in the 40s, nothing rough, but, well, I never thought about that. It is the 1st of March. I mean, I hadn't done a week. I mean, like a lion, go out like a lamb. So, I'm hoping this is bad enough to qualify us for to go out like a lamb. It's been chilly here today, but it's not been a bad day.
We've been a little rainy all day and windy, and so, not powerfully windy, but it's not going to blow you out of your chair, but, I'll take it, so I'm looking for the lamb.
There you go. I agree. Yep. I'll go with you on that. I'll go with you on that.
All righty. Well, you know, I think gold came in to the month of March like the lamb, because it was down another $12 today at $1,724. But you know what? It was $20 higher throughout the day. So it just gets hammered in this late trading. Gold is at 1724, down $12. The high was 1744. Silver today was down 24 pennies. We saw the same type of trade. We were up over $27. And in the New York spot price aftermarket, we're $26.56. Platinum was down $5 at $11.86. Palladium was up 37 at $2,416. And, you know, it's funny. Nobody owns rhodium, you know. It's amazing to watch that price. I think this is even more powerful than what Bitcoin is because, you know, I mean, you got, you know, $1.5 billion coming in from Elon that you don't see in the rhodium market, but 26,500.
Wow.
26,500 for rhodium. It was up over 2% today. So I've just been watching that quietly. And it's just, you know, the first run it took was back in the early 2000s. It went from like 400 to 10,000. And then it dropped all the way back and it settled around that level for the same time palladium took off. They took off together. But rhodium certainly is outpowered, you know, is really powerful. You got the USDX today was up 15. It's over 91. So 91.06, therefore the pressure on gold. Crude oil was down $1.20 at 60.30. Paper markets today, they came in as the lion, I guess. I don't know. They came in as a lion up 676 point. Well, I'm sorry, 603 points. Just had a correction there. 603 on the Dow. 31,535. The NASDAQ was up 3% at 396 points at 13,588. You know, I did the market report for the newsletter today, and NASDAQ was down over 5% last week. So up being 3% is a good day for the NASDAQ, but it's still down, too. The S&P was up 90 for now. The S&P was up 90 at 3,901. 10-year yield, 1.45%. All the European Asian markets did fine. There's no concern about any fear, or it's all about don't Verdi be happy. And you know, it's pretty much you know, the stocks went crazy. The bond markets kind of took a breather today, and everybody's talking about, you know, heck, bond market has been in a bubble for what, the past 15 years, but and nobody, no one seems to matter how long a bubble can last. But when you got the world central banks heading into pumping out gobs of money into these systems, Federal Reserve, you know, it's amazing. Plus our government and the stimulus, they're all looking to, they'll probably get the, I don't know if they're going to get, the Senate's going to pass the stimulus, but It's all good news on the vaccine. Stimulus cheer. Stock markets went up. And so what's there to worry about, Butch?
Well, you know, you mentioned Don't Worry, Be Happy. You remember that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy?
That's why I said it, yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry, be happy.
Yeah. Do you know how that guy died?
By not being happy.
He committed suicide.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. So he should listen to his own song. But that, I mean, that's just a point to make that, you don't worry, be happy. I don't like to worry. Worry if you're a believer in Christ is kind of a sin, but doesn't mean that we're not concerned. And anybody concerned about wintertime come and puts food up. That's what the good sense God give us. So when you see things happening that we're seeing right now, anybody with good sense prepares for the future as best they can. And but this don't worry, be happy philosophy, I've seen it cause a lot of problems for a lot of people. They don't plan for the future, and therefore they don't have much of a future. And that's the sad part of it.
And there's so many ways we can, but there's so many ways to which we prepare for the future.
Well,
it's just
the
finite. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, the most important things, but there's a lot of ways that you prepare for the future. But.
And, you know, the spiritual part, of course, you know where I come from on that, obviously.
Yes, me too.
But a lot of it is common sense. If you the Bible gives you that common sense. I mean, tells you look at the ant and how the ant prepares for things. You know, I mean, he calls a man a sluggard. He's lazy. He said, look, the ant, thou sluggard. You understand why they prepare for what's coming, you know, the wintertime, whatever. So we have a tendency, we all do, being human, the human nature to want to be lazy, but you can't do that and prepare yourself and family for what's coming in the future, and train them in the ways that God would teach us, but also financially and other ways prepare for the future. I don't know what the future holds. I'm not a prophet that in that sense, but I can be prophet enough to tell you that financially it's not looking good anywhere worldwide. That's why I talk about a reset. Something's got to be done. They're not going to pay the debt back. They can't pay the debt back. So why worry about debt? Just spend more money. When you can't pay it back, Billy, but you have access to the printing presses,
so why
just
not?
Do what you want, you know?
Till the cows come
just
home.
Do what you want. Don't worry, be happy. Spend it all and just print some more and spend it all and print some more.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There is an article out of the Wall Street Journal about banks in Germany telling customers, hey, take your money someplace else. Interest rates have been negative in Europe for so many years, and it took the flood of savings unleashed in the pandemic for banks to finally to charge depositors in earnest. Germany's biggest lender, Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank, they told their customers since last year to pay 0.5% annual rate to keep large sums of money with them. The bank says they can no longer absorb the negative interest rates the European Central Bank charges them. So the more customers deposit banks have, the more they have to park with the central bank. So that's creating this very unusual incentive where banks that usually want deposits as an inexpensive form of financing are essentially telling customers, hey, go away. Banks are even providing new online tools to help customers take your money someplace else. Banks in Europe resisted passing negative rates on to customers when the ECB first introduced them in 2014, and they were fearing some sort of backlash. Some did it only with corporate depositors. Of course, they were less likely to complain, and the banks resorted to other ways to pass on the cost of negative rates. Of course, that's easy enough to figure out by charging higher fees. The pandemic kind of changed that equation. Savings rates skyrocketed with consumers at home. And with huge relief programs from the ECB that have flooded banks with excess deposits, banks also have used the economic dislocation of the pandemic to make operational changes that they have long, long resisted. So, you know, it's so that's what they're doing. They're taking their money out. And here's one guy whose savings ballooned without trips and to restaurants and vacations. He shifted 60,000 euros to a bank in Italy and one in Sweden through an online platform called Raisin. And that allows customers to shop for better rates at banks across Europe. And he says he can't even remember the name of his new banks. But he said he felt comfortable, given that Europe has domestic guarantees on all deposits up to 100,000 euros. So he's receiving 0.8% interest on the one-year fixed deposits. So
less than 1% return for his money.
Yeah. And it's funny. I hope he doesn't, if he can't remember the name of his new banks, I hope that's not like the remembering your password.
Well, you know, the $100,000 insurance, same thing with FDIC here, but they don't have that money. If the banks went completely, no, they couldn't cover those. They could not do that. They don't have the money.
No, they don't.
They can't insure anything at any kind of bulk rate, so to speak. If the banks went bankrupt, they could not cover that. But to put money in a bank, 60,000 euros, about $70,000 American money in that area, I guess, is putting it at 0.8%. Why would you not invest it in gold and silver and gain a little more than 0.8%?
Yeah, but maybe you know the big point is that, Butch, you always had all these, Warren Buffett, oh, your money doesn't give you, what does gold do for you? But that's the whole point. Your money isn't giving you anything either. And this is an exact example. Your savings don't give you anything. So even if gold stays the same, you're still making out. Even if corrects a little bit, you're still making out.
Well, with inflation, gold is going to go up, and your dollar is losing money in the bank. Inflation is 10% at least.
At least.
At least. So you're losing money. With gold, inflation causes the prices to go up. You know, I took Marcia to the store yesterday afternoon a little bit, and she bought something called a pound cake. You probably don't want to talk about it. I'm not real sure. But she said this was $4. The last time she bought one, now it's $7 for a pound cake.
Wow.
That's something. She said that she just said, I can't believe the prices in stores. It's ridiculous.
It is.
So, folks, that's called inflation. And while they may mess with gold and silver some, and then go up 2,000, back down to 1,700, and then silver 20, almost 30, and back down, they mess with it. They do. But every time it goes up, it doesn't go back down to silver. Gold was $35 an ounce in 1971. $35 an ounce in 1971. Well, that's been a while back, of course, but now it went up $2,000 an ounce. And silver was up, it was up to $50 an ounce at one time. Now, back in the 90s, you could buy a silver eagle for $3. Now they're about, $30, Melody? Is that about right? $32?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, folks, I don't care what you say. Your dollar has not went up in value compared to gold and silver. Just think about this. From 1971, I could buy a gallon of gas for 20 cents. That's a true story. I could. 20 cents. But gasoline is now 250 and up. So the dollar has dropped in value. I can still buy a gallon of gas for less than 20 cents if I use a silver dime. They're worth about 240 a piece. Yep. So nothing's changed except the dollar is going to nothing and gold and silver is going up. I'll actually go to 4,000 or 5,000. I'm sure it will eventually. But it has maintained its value and growing compared to the dollar enormously. So why would you put your money in the bank at 0.8%, inflation 10%, and not invest in gold and silver? I don't get it. I'm not the brightest bulb in the house. Maybe I don't see all the details, but I just don't get that.
You know, we hear all the time that it's going to be the children and the grandchildren who pay for this. It's going to pay for this recklessness of this.
That's true.
Government and all this debt.
That's
so how
true.
Are you going to help them when you're not here?
That's very true.
It's a great way to distribute your wealth, ladies and gentlemen. A great way. Yeah. And, you know, but they have to be taught to understand. They have to understand what gold and money, what gold is, what silver is, what money is. So you do have to do a little bit of teaching too. But
I've taken time to teach my three sons that, and I haven't got a fortune in it, but it makes me feel good to know I'll leave them something tangible behind when I leave this world. Something they can cash in if they want to, or do what you want to with it. You know, it makes me feel good that by the grace of God I'll be able to do that. It's not a fortune by any means, but it's something.
Mm-hmm. But it something. Will help the grandchildren in the future, too.
Of course, it will. Of course it will. So.
What else?
Well, this is kind of scary. Texas electricity firm files for bankruptcy, citing $1.8 billion in claims from grid operator. Texas' largest, now listen folks, and oldest electric power cooperative will Monday file for bankruptcy. If the oldest and the largest one is going under, who's next? But anyway, bankrupt protection in federal court in Houston, citing a $1.8 billion bill from the state's grid operator. Melly, maybe they should write to Congress and ask them to send that $1.9 billion them. But anyway.
Yeah.
Brazos Electric Power Cooperative, Inc., is one of the dozens of electricity providers facing enormous charges stemming from the severe cold snap last month. The fallout threatens utilities and power marketers who collectively face billions of dollars in blackout-related charges, as FT said. So if the largest and the oldest is going under, could there be more joining them? Of course it could be. And who's going to take up the slack? Infrastructure is falling apart in this country. Whether in Texas, these were private firms. They were not regulated. They still went under. Regulated ones are under a tighter budget most of the time. So the infrastructure is going down, folks. Whether it's private or government controlled, it's going under. So I don't want to tell you about that. I just read it to you. It's a fact that the largest and oldest electric power cooperative in Texas is bankrupt. Any comments on that?
No, I mean, it's just a sign of the times. I mean, what do you think happens when we see these things, change and be hit with regulations in the oil industry and everything being changed? There's still after effects from when we had oil dipping down below 30 to 20. It wasn't that long ago. And so, I mean, these things, lots of times it takes things to filter through. And I think that's what I think we'll see this year. And it'll be interesting because what I follow is a lot of this money and the stimulus is going to go to rental people and utilities. That expires this month. So the moratorium on evictions, we're talking about millions of people.
I'm going to share that in a minute. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's either they're going to have to extend it again, or it depends if that enough money. But you'd think most of that money is going to go to the big landlords, the big real estate landlords and so forth. All those hedge funds that bought the bank's real estate back in 2008 when all those homes went belly up. That's what they did. They bought rentals. Anyway, we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We still got some great prices on Silver Eagles. We're still locking in prices. We're still shipping the Silver Eagles and Gold Eagles. Premiums are high. They didn't change with this drop in pricing, but there's no lack of buyers. And I just want to remind the listeners that, you know, that weather that went through this country, it's basically 2 weeks. It was 1 week and the week before it began with the freezing rain and everything. It did cause a lot of havoc with shipping. We've shipped things, and because of that storm, either planes didn't fly, trucks didn't drive. They were holed up. They couldn't get anywhere. They used different outsourcing to get these packages. I mean, an express package took 2 weeks. An overnight package was supposed to get there in 2 weeks. So if you see your packages, you know, the UPS packages, the registered and insure, we've got them shipped, but they're just taking a long time. And it's funny, Butch, we've seen this happen September it began, when it was like overnight. All of a sudden, the Postal Service just, I don't know, they just blew up or something. People are telling me they're just getting Christmas cards. And so...
That was last year.
That was last year.
Exactly.
So they can use it for this year.
There you go.
But anyway, the registered and insured is still the safest way to ship anything. So I'm not concerned that it's lost or anything like that. It's just taking the 2 weeks of bad weather really did a number. It really did delay things. And I'm beginning to see things beginning to have positive. And things are now beginning to get delivered. I mean, I'm still waiting a package for 2 weeks that was supposed to be FedEx overnight to me. And that was 2 weeks ago. And it's supposed to be here tomorrow. So, yeah. So, be patient. And if you have any concerns of what we shipped, give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. But don't allow other dealers to use that as an excuse. There is a difference. If they're slow in shipping anyway.
You're up front. You are.
Yeah, we tell everybody if we have delays three to four weeks, and it usually doesn't take that long. But I just want to make sure that everybody knows that there can be delays. And but anyway, what's next, Butch?
Okay, first off, I want to apologize. I guess I made a mistake. The guy that sung the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, apparently is not dead. Although, been over a year ago, I received, of course, internet, that he committed suicide. But, again, internet is not always reliable, as you already know that, too. So, if I was wrong on that, I'm sorry about that. It's my first mistake so far this year, though, Melody. But anyway...
And you got a whole year to go.
I got a whole year to go, man. Anyway, we'll move on. You mentioned just a minute ago.
And I just want to say his name is Bobby McFerrin.
McFerrin, yes. Eviction moratorium ruled unconstitutional. Largest tsunami evictions in U.S. history incoming. Now, this is amazing. This is an article by Michael Snyder. Ever since last summer, a federal moratorium on evictions has prevented landlords from evicting millions of tenants that are behind on their rent payments. This moratorium has caused extreme financial distress for many landlords. It has also kept us from witnessing millions upon millions of Americans being thrown out into the cold streets. Of course, this moratorium on evictions was never actually legal, and it was just a matter of time before it was challenged in front of a federal judge that still had respect for the U.S. Constitution. On Thursday, a federal judge in Eastern District, Texas, named John Campbell Barker, ruled that the federal moratorium is completely unconstitutional. But Barker did not issue any sort of injunction, and so the moratorium is still in effect for the moment. In his ruling, Barker expressed his belief that the defendants will respect the declaratory judgment and will willingly withdraw the moratorium on their own. Federal officials could attempt to drag their feet, but the current moratorium is set to expire March 31st anyway. So whether it happens immediately or in a few weeks, the federal moratorium is on evictions is ending. Of course, some states have their own moratoriums in place, and Barker noted that those are constitutional. So renters in those states still have at least some protection moving forward. And I disagree with them at all. So I disagree on that. No government can tell you that you can't make a living. I don't care whether they're renting or not. And I feel sorry for the renters, but landlords have to eat too. But let's move on. But for most of the country, things are about to change in a major way. According to one current recent study, a whopping 10 million U.S. households are currently behind on the rent payments. There are more and more studies coming in out showing that they also, that's a bit too long, but so 10 million could be out, households, out at the end of the month, or maybe before that. A federal judge rules unconstitutional, and I have to agree with that. I cannot understand how they even consider that, but how can they consider telling a business that they can't work either? And shut down businesses and mom and pop stores to go out of business. And that's totally wrong. But it is what it is. Any comments on that, Melody?
No, it is wrong. And, and I understand helping people, but I mean, it's, there's just a chain. And I don't, you don't want people homeless, but they need to work. That's the whole point. They need to work. And they wouldn't be put in this position. So, I mean, is it discrimination paying some people's mortgages and their rents and not other people? How does that all work, Butch? I'm not trying to be nasty, but...
Well, no, it's true. It's true. And I say this politely, and I understand where it's coming from for sure, but the people should never tolerate being told they can't go to work. I don't care what the excuse is. The Constitution and the rights of man to feed their family doesn't go away because there's some kind of disease out there that's not been proven yet to be real. And that's also a statement I can prove. But so you just don't shut down the world because somebody says somebody's sick. You don't call businesses to close down. You don't starve families out. You don't call people to commit suicide. You just don't do that. That is not the way you handle things. Now, that's my opinion.
So either those billions of dollars from the stimulus go into paying the landlords or they'll extend the moratorium. One day it's going to have to be addressed. And getting people back to work is not going to be able to pay off back rent.
No, it's not.
Because the landlord, I'm sure there's some landlords out there that'll work with people, but a lot won't. It's like, hey, you owe me $6,000. You've got 30 days to pay for it. Most people can't come up with $6,000. They can't even come up with $1,000 for an emergency at a hospital. So I don't know what's going to happen. So because I can't think of the only fix would be to pay off the landlords. It's the only fix.
I don't know. I just don't get it. We've allowed, obviously, over a lot of years, the federal government basically to step in where it shouldn't be, and that now we're paying for it. That's all I can say.
You know, we talked about energy a little bit earlier. Did you see this where there's cities that are starting to ban new gas stations?
Oh yeah, I got that coming up. Yeah, I did.
Do you have that coming up? Okay,
I do.
I'll let you bring it up.
Yeah, I mean,
just
really.
Just keeping you on your toes, Butch.
I'm right here. Now, I'm going to tell you who qualifies for the $1,400 stimulus package, their payment. And this is if it passes the Senate, which it probably will. House Democrats passed a $1.9 million American Rescue Plan early Saturday morning, which includes a provision for a third stimulus check worth $1,400 for taxpayers and each of their dependents. Each of their dependents. Individuals earning an adjusted gross income up to $75,000 and married couples up to $150,000 will receive $1,400 each, plus $1,400 for each dependent. I mean, that means, you know, that the family of four will get, what, $5,600 in a check. But most people I know, that I know, don't make $75,000 a year as single people. And most married couples I know don't make $150,000 a year. So there'll be a lot of checks going out. Any comments on that?
No. And again, I understand the pain that these people must be going through. And giving them incentives and so forth, the biggest problem I have with that stimulus is all the pork in it. That's going to all these other places.
It's going overseas. A lot of it's going to foreign countries.
I know. Going to Harvard. Going to all these Ivy League colleges. I mean, come on. They've already gotten past stimulus from some of these stimulus bills. That's the part I have problems with, Butch.
I understand that. I do.
You know, if you're going to send out stimulus, let the people have. They get a, and I'm saying, well, now they only get a paltry $1,400 versus the billions of dollars that's going, and the billions of dollars. What's tricky about the stimulus, which I didn't know, is actually. It's actually set up to be paid out over the next couple of years. What a great way to keep things, you know, going. So that's telling me this economy isn't going to be better for the next couple of years, because that's what they're paying on.
That's
and
right.
It's just, you know, it's, you know, hey, you want to do stimulus? Do it. But tell us the truth and get off all of this pork going to all these. And the Republicans are no different. Oh, I heard all the Republicans out today crying and whining about all the pork that's in it and where it's going and so forth. And oh, it's the time. No, you guys do the same thing. You Republicans do the same thing in D.C. It's just not your turn.
Well, I'm anxious to see how they respond to this when they come to time to vote for this. Who's going to stand against it and for it? I mean, it's going to be interesting. On the Republican side, I mean, we will see.
Rand Paul will be against it.
Of course.
We probably name them who will be. But everybody else will be. It'll pass it.
I'm sure they will.
The bottom line is they have to go home to their constituents. And these are the people that vote for them. So... anyway,
well, they got herself in. They got themselves into a mess by doing this in the first place. It's hard to take back a pacifier from a baby when you're sucking on it, and that's a fact. Anyway, this article I find kind of interesting. It's a little bit spooky. Your next job interview may be with a robot, whether you realize it or not. And this is interesting. Many companies have turned to artificial intelligence to lead hiring processes and cherry-pick job applicants. Welcome to the wild west of hiring. When Emily applied for her dream job, she expected to ace her interview. She knew the company inside and out and prepared to explain why she would be perfect for the role. When she received an invitation to a video platform that would record her responses to a series of questions, she was slightly thrown. She was applying for a people-facing role and had hoped to be able to build rapport with a hiring manager. And still she hoped that she could still show her personality even in a pre-recorded clip. What Emily didn't realize until after the interview was that the third-party company that hosted the video software used a facial analysis technology to screen candidates. The interview would be assessed by an algorithm that used people's facial expressions, intonation, and word choice to evaluate whether Emily was right for the role. No human no human contact there, no personal individual to individual talking about things. The computer, the robot, will decide we get the job or not. That's kind of cold. And I guess the robot would be more specific on certain things. And if it comes down to just right and wrong, then obviously they'll make the choice that they think is right and wrong. But it takes out the human touch that people need, I think, in my opinion, in order to actually make wise decisions. What's your comment on that?
I mean, isn't that kind of like a lie detector test to some degree?
It is.
And you know what? Yeah. I would think that it would be pretty easy, not easy at the moment, but as you go on, you would think that there's probably ways that you could fool. I mean, if you know you're going to be interviewed by a robot, I mean, you know what you have to do to get by them, I would think.
Well, I do know that the facial scans and the algorithms and other things that do, when they look at you, they say a certain word, they see how you respond. You may say, well, this doesn't offend me, but your face and your gestures will say, yes, it does.
Yeah, but you should be able to change that. I mean, you should be able to.
You would think so. I don't know that. But just take, to me, when I call a business and I have to go through five different robotic answers, I get frustrated. Sometimes I just hang up. I would love to hear an individual pick up the phone and say, hello, man, how may I help you today? Instead of punch one for this, punch two for this, for a company directory punch this. I don't, you know, that gets old after a while, Melody, because we used to have people-to-people communications, and it was much more realistic, I guess you could say. You felt like you were a real individual, and they cared because somebody actually answered the phone. That makes sense to you?
Well, it was also jobs.
Of course.
And those jobs no longer exist. Yeah.
Remember, recordings are cheaper than people.
Absolutely.
Now, here's your story. Cities are starting to ban new gas stations.
Yeah, can you believe Petaluma, that? They're nuts. People are nuts.
Petaluma, California has voted to outlaw new gas stations, the first of what climate activists hope will be numerous cities and counties to do so. Why it matters? Expect more ordinances, particularly in liberal towns. Grassroots groups are popping up with the mission of spreading this type of ban and forcing pollution cleanups at existing gas stations. The movement aims to accelerate the shift to electric vehicles. Folks, there's coming a time you'll not be able to run an internal combustion engine with gasoline. They're going to force you to go electric. This is not a ban set on existing gas stations, which are providing all of that gas necessarily needed. But the problem with the problem with allowing new gas stations that we don't really need, that we don't really need them, and they're putting existing gas stations out of business. That don't make any sense. But then it turned out they always
hey,
got
hold
business.
On, we're heading into a break, but so we'll finish this up when we get back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And heading into the break, we were talking about Petaluma, California.
They decided to ban new gas stations. So people will be forced to go to electric cars. Folks, if you can't see what's coming down here, it's more control, obviously. And this isn't going to happen tomorrow. It's going to take a little while, but they're going to get it done. And I understand, now I've studied this a little bit, I'm not an expert on this, but I've read enough, I've been reading the people who are supposed to know, it's going to cost more to charge your car than it does fill up gasoline at today's prices. So this, these are things people want to think about. And as you said during the break, Mel, if the power companies can't produce enough electricity now, what's going to be when everybody's plugging their cars into the system? It's going to be chaos, folks. At least with gasoline, you still can, and some people do, I know them personally, who make their own gasoline out of biofuels. I mean, waste products like chicken fat. I know one guy picks up different fats from different restaurants like Kentucky Fried Chicken places and hamburger joints and makes his own gasoline. It smells good, by the way, too. He explained him drop down the road ahead and make you hungry. But anyway, see, he makes his own fuel. So that's another way. He can't do that. Once they put it all electricity and his car's wore out, he's stuck. That's just the way it is. It happens that way. And Melody, as a little bit of something in the way of scientific fact, did you know it's a proven scientific fact that women who put on a few pounds live longer than the men who mention it?
Yes, Butch.
We'll okay, we'll move on now.
But I just want to say one thing about these gas stations. You know, there's also a movement that are trying to ban the natural gas hookups in new construction. And, I mean, these are still pretty small groups, but they really do want to liken it to the same as the no-smoking movement and the dangers of secondhand smoke. And so it's starting in California, Butch, where, you know what, anything goes in California. So, yeah, it's kind of... kind of interesting.
It is interesting. It is. This is really going to be sad news if it happens. Biden advisor Cedric Richmond sees first-term progress on reparations.
Oh, don't get me started.
Yes. White House senior advisor Cedric Richmond told Axios on HBO that it's doable for President Biden to make first-term progress on breaking down barriers for people of color while Congress studies reparations for slavery. This makes me so mad, and I'm not pro-slavery, but do you know where the word slavery comes from, Melody? Seriously,
it comes from
Slavic, S-L-A-V-I-C. White people were enslaved in Europe, and that's where the word comes from: slavery, Slavic. And I'm telling the truth on that, folks. Look it up for yourself. We should give reparations. The white matters. Biden said on the campaign trail that he supports creation of a commission to study and develop proposals for reparations, direct payments for African Americans. This is absolutely insane beyond words. It makes me angry, And I am, and anybody knows me knows Butch Paul's not a racist. I have black preachers come to our Bible studies and teach us. I'm not a racist. But I'm sick and tired of this whining and crying belly aching from anybody. Now, they said, this is getting old. And I didn't do it. That's been 180, 150, 60 years ago. I wasn't involved then. But somebody paid me and my ancestors who were white folks who were enslaved for decades before the blacks ever were. So, when's our turn coming?
I know. It's just, you know what? And these people, it's just political. And Biden has appointed in so many of his positions those who have personal agendas. They don't have agendas of this country, or the United States of America. They have their own personal agendas. And he don't have the wherewithal to say no. It's just like, you know what? And until they begin, instead of looking behind and start going forward, they're not going to get anywhere. They're going to continue to be used by the politicians on both sides for a lousy vote.
I agree.
And the inner cities, they're separate problems. And you need to look at your local governments for that. You know, they're the ones who have neglected those areas. Isn't it racism? You know, it's just, you know, the billions of dollars that are being funneled to some of these states out of the stimulus. Do you think that's going to filter down to the inner cities? Heck no. It's going in there to help their pensions and their retirement accounts. So it's just maddening that they continue to talk about these reparations. And I can't even understand someone's mind who thinks this is a great idea. Move on. Be mad at the government, not for slavery or looking for reparations. Find out why you don't have a job. Get mad at them because they keep sending their jobs out of this country. You know, get upset at these multinational corporations who are in bed with government. Reparations aren't going to do anything. That's so stupid. Anyway.
It is stupid. It is stupid. And I hate to say this, but it's blacks, whites, yellows and reds. It's all of them. We've developed a culture in America, especially of welfare-minded individuals. We're sucking off the government tit and have been for years. And they don't want to change their habits. That's just the way it is.
And you talk about division.
Oh, yes.
How does that bring anybody together?
It doesn't. That's not meant to.
No. How does that unite?
Well, Biden's going to heal the nation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And different topic here, but global defense spending led by U.S. and China hits a new high. I don't know if that's a good idea. That maybe tells you something in the future. The U.S. and China led the growth in global defense spending, which hit a new high in 2020, despite the economic stress brought on by coronavirus pandemic, a report said Thursday. So China and America both are the leading in defense spending. That may be something we think about. In its annual report of military power, the International Institute for Strategic Studies said total military expenditures added up to $1.83 trillion in 2020, a 3.9% increase over the previous year. This came despite the coronavirus pandemic and the subsequent contraction in global economic output, the London-based think tank said in a statement. Now listen to this, Melody. The United States remained the top spender. Guess what the percentage of all this money, guess how much we spend of that money? 1.83 trillion. Guess how much we spend on it? 40.3% of the global spending coming from America.
Oh.
40.3%. Wow. I remember, and I don't remember saying it, but I have seen it since then and covered since then, when Eisenhower warned the people and left office about the military industrial complex. You remember that, don't you?
I do.
You know of it. You know of it.
Yes,
so
of course.
That's your concern is. It should.
Go ahead.
That's all right.
Well, you know, today Elizabeth Warren was going to introduce legislation that would tax the net worth of the wealthiest people in America. And
yes.
the wealth tax would apply a 2% tax to individual net worth, including the value of stocks, houses, boats, and anything else a person owns after subtracting out any debts above $50 million. It would also add an additional 1% surcharge for net worth above $1 billion. You know, that's how desperate government is.
It's true.
And the thing about it is, Butch, you know, we've got so much debt, they have to go get the money somewhere. You know, the people with that kind of money, but it's just to me, it's a sign of how desperate it is. But what is their paltry 1% and 2% tax to the wealthy? How is that going to fix our $30 trillion?
It's not.
I mean, what's it going to do?
It will do nothing, and they know that. That's not the point. The point, they want more control.
Yeah. It's not about money. No.
It's not about money. Well, it's not. If it's about money, they would have balanced the budget. They want to get out of balance in the first place. It's about money and fairness. They don't mind the money going out. They want control of the people.
Yep.
Just that simple.
And it does control their party because you have most of the Democrats out there. Yeah, take it from the wealthy. Take it, you know, tax them. They're really not going to trickle down anything. So certainly not the right approach to create more jobs.
You really can't tax businesses and wealthy if they own businesses because they pass it on to us. People talk about just tax the corporations and businesses. I mean, if it worked, be fine. They don't pay much tax, but if they do pay it, guess who ends up paying in the long run?
I know.
They passed it on to us. This article here, Google's Sundar Pichai tops a list of 100 most overpaid CEOs. He got paid last year a package worth $281 million. That's not bad money. And it says final Google Sundar, $281 million pay package, the most excessive. CEO pays pay increased 14% in 2018 and 2019, an average $21.3 million. So he's doing pretty good, over $281 million in a pay package. That's not too bad.
That's not bad.
And I don't like Google anyway, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I mean, we see these kind of things, and you wonder. When you think that the shareholders of the company would ask questions of how he's making all this money and they're not going to get more money for the shares.
Well, yeah, but that's what he gets. I mean, aren't they the ones who give it to him?
That's what I'm saying. Don't you think they won't wonder about that, though?
No.
I don't know. Whatever. It's just my opinion. You have more comments on that?
No, I don't.
This is a little bit off finances. COVID, the virus was never proven to exist. A statement from Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Dr. Tom Cowan, and Sally Fallon Morell, M-O-R-E-L-L. During a series of articles which I've been exposing the COVID PCR test as a fraud and a hoax and a con, I've assumed for purposes of discussion that the virus, SARS-CoV-2, is real and has been isolated. I made the assumption in order to show that within this official world of COVID, the PCR is a sham. However, as my readers know, for months I've been making the case that no one has proved SARS-CoV-2 exists. Therefore, its PCR test is built to detect a fragment of a virus whose very existence has failed to meet a national or rational standard of evidence. This raises the absurdity of the PCR test to the whole world. Researchers assume the piece of RNA the test is looking for is part of a SARS-CoV-2, but without having the actual isolated virus in hand, there's no way to know the RNA fragment is any more relevant than a speck of dust on the moon. And they're starting to reveal a lot of this stuff. They're starting to reveal a lot of these things just come to head now. They never isolate the COVID virus. They've never proven it even exists. Now, that's science. It's not me saying that. But they built a whole world control mechanism around it. Now, Bill Gates wants to release genetically modified mosquitoes to inject you with vaccines.
That has to be fake news, Butch.
No, this is real news. The Huraki Masakaka at GC Medical University in Japan thinks it may be possible to turn mosquitoes that normally transmit disease into flying syringes so that when they bite humans, they deliver vaccines. And Gates awarded $100,000 to that foundation to study that. I'm not making this up. This is real. I mean, this is real. And I'm thinking, well, okay, you want your shot, just step outside. Or stay inside. You'll get it eventually. Any comments on that one?
No, I mean, how much money was given to him?
$100,000.
Yeah, that's no money. That's peanuts. That's like you and me giving somebody $500 to go study, considering his amount of money, so he probably has somebody in his chain of employment who.
Well, in case you're interested, COVID vaccine may be offered in fast food restaurant car parks to make sure at-risk groups, including those who are obese, do not get left behind. This is in the Daily Mail. The COVID vaccine could be offered in fast food restaurants, car parks to ensure high uptake in risk groups, in at-risk groups. The suggestion came as government advisors warned that poor, obese men and ethnic minorities are at more risk of being admitted to hospitals by the disease. This could involve GPs. This is probably the UK. Phoning or writing to patients within those groups to personally invite them to be for a vaccine or taking the jab to places where they gather. So, go to a fast food restaurant in UK and get a shot.
All in one.
All in one.
All in one. Hey, we're out of time. We'll be back. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.